All right. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, my fellow Trash Talkers. Whatever time you are tuning in, I'm glad to have you on board once again. You're listening to Trash Talk with D Bork, and I'm your host, Dave Bork. It is Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. This is episode number 22 of our NFL podcast. That's right, we are back, and we are about to start talking about the NFL draft. Yep, it is that time of year. And with the first pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. Yep, it's a foregone conclusion that Caleb Williams is going to be going number one overall in this year's NFL Draft, and rightly so, let's be honest. He is by far and away the best quarterback in this class, as, you know, as good as this class is, obviously, with back-to-back Heisman winners in him and Jaden Daniels, most likely to go number two overall to the Washington Commanders. He is probably just going to edge out Drake May, you'd like to think. It's a pretty pickish market at the moment with Drake May, a slight plus money. I guess he's plus 107 to be going number two overall with Jaden Daniels at the minus 115 mark. But I think Daniels ends up getting it done in the end. Look, Washington already have North Carolina quarterback themselves already in Sam Howell. I don't know if they go down the same path with Drake May. Obviously, they are two completely different quarterbacks, but at the same time, I think Jaden Daniels is that guy. He's coming off a phenomenal season overall at LSU. Pretty unlucky, obviously, not to make the playoffs, but at the end of the day, their defense just was not good enough. But he was lights out this year. He really was. And then I guess, you know, from three onwards after Drake May is more than likely selected to be a New England Patriots quarterback. I think they would definitely like to think that's going to work out just a little bit better than how things worked with Mac Jones at quarterback there. Then the draft really starts at number four overall. Who knows if Arizona are going to stay put at the four spot. I think it's been talked about a lot that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the guy to get drafted at number four overall to Arizona. I think he is the best wide receiver in the class. It's a pretty deep class, obviously, with Malik Nabers as well and Romeo Odunze from Washington. There'll be a lot more kind of pick later on. We'll touch on that in a bit. But there's plenty of talk right now of a team wanting to move up a couple of spots, which is the New York Giants. There has been so much chat of late of J.J. McCarthy potentially getting picked number four overall to either the Giants or Minnesota moving up into that spot with Arizona potentially moving back. I honestly can't dislike this move anymore. I can't. The Giants a couple of years ago had Daniel Jones as a playoff quarterback. They won the first round of the playoffs against the Vikings and then obviously end up losing to Philadelphia. I think everyone was losing to Philadelphia that year. But as bad of a year that Daniel Jones just had, replacing him with someone like J.J. McCarthy, who at the end of the day is a project, really. Like, he's not a number four overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Obviously, he's elite athleticism. It really is. Daniel Jones also has that too. I know he gets sacked a lot, but their offensive line sucks. Let's be real. We haven't really seen the true arm strength of McCarthy, just given the way that they'd played at Michigan. They were very run-centric, had an elite defense. He didn't have to do all that much on the offensive side of the field with, you know, Blake Corum just running through everyone. I see this J.J. McCarthy pick, if someone moves up to pick him at that four spot, whether it's the Giants, whether it's Minnesota, I kind of see it as a Mac Jones 2.0. I really do. I think this would be a clear miss by either team if they were to move up and take him there. If I'm Arizona, I'm happy to field calls for sure, because at the end of the day, even if you don't take Marvin Harrison Jr., you've got plenty of elite wide receivers kind of, you know, past 6, 7, 8, 9, you know what I mean, with Nabers and Odunze. I think if you can move back for either of those two guys, I think you're happy with that regardless, with an additional pick on the side. So it wouldn't shock me if the Giants did this, let's be honest. They make some bad decisions in the past. They've already lost Saquon Barkley as well, so it's just a complete somewhat of an overhaul in New York if they are to be making this move, or do they kind of rely on Danny Dimes and say, all right, you've got one more year to kind of show us what you got. This is your team now. Because at the end of the day, I don't think they get a whole lot better with McCarthy in at quarterback than they would with Daniel Jones anyway. If you're not going to be selecting one of those top three, there's no point, in my opinion, moving up to go get someone like McCarthy. That's the way I see things. And look, if the Giants do tend to make this move, you've got the Chargers in five with their new coach Harbaugh coming in there. Justin Herbert needs all the help he's going to get. Lost Mike Williams and lost Keenan Allen in free agency. They need to draft a wide receiver. As much as Jim loves a running back, you can't be drafting a running back at pick five. So if Harrison is available there, because if the Giants or Minnesota do make an idiotic decision to kind of jump up at four and take him, then you're taking Marvin Harrison there or Malik Nabers to, you know, give Justin Herbert all the help that he needs to compete in a semi-tough division. Obviously, you're competing against Kansas City, so it is obviously extremely tough. It's top-heavy, because if you give him that piece, then you probably do... I mean, I know this Chargers team loses a lot of games late. They do. They're frustrating to watch, but they would be the second-best team if you give this guy some help. It's as simple as that. That's all they're missing right now. He had nothing. Like, Keenan Allen is very, very serviceable. But at the end of the day, if you want to be elite and you've got a huge, huge market in LA, you've got a very good quarterback in Justin Herbert, give this guy some weapons. Seriously, it's not hard. With a new coach in their system this year, I think they're going to get that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do draft a running back in the second or third round, just given their coach and how much he loves to run the football. But at the end of the day, if you can get a good run game going, you don't have to rely on Herbert throwing the ball 50 times a game to be a chance of winning. So it's not the worst play, but I would 100% be drafting a wide receiver here. Leave the big fella to Tennessee, please. And look, a trade does work for this Arizona Cardinals team out of that four spot, because if they do trade back to, say, six, then you're going to be getting one of those, you know, wide receivers, whether or not the Chargers take Harrison. If they do, for example, then you've got Nabers or Odonze, and from all reports, it very much looks like they're going after Odonze there. So Malik Nabers somehow, if he's still there in Tennessee's lap, it would be extremely hard not to take him, but we do have some other needs at that offensive line, and it almost feels as if at that seventh spot with the Tennessee Titans, they're going to be drafting Joe Alt out of Notre Dame if Jim doesn't take him at five to the Chargers. If he's off the board to the Chargers, then one of these wide receivers is still there. I think it's been, you know, reported all, you know, draft long, I guess, this whole process that Alt is going to be a Tennessee Titan. If he is off the board, I'm sorry, but one of these young wide receivers are there, you need to take them. Treylon Burks clearly has not worked out. You can then draft an offensive lineman in the second or third round. As good as some of these other guys are, there's a wide receiver, an offensive lineman out of Penn State that could be a shout to fit in if Alt is off the board to the Chargers, but you wouldn't like to think so. it wouldn't make a lot of sense. I mean, as good as Fashanu is out of Penn State, Joe Alt has to be the guy. Fuago is also there out of Oregon State, but I feel like you can get those guys mid to late first round as well, so you can't be taking them at seven. If Alt isn't there and you don't want one of those wide receivers, then you look to trade back, I think, to the mid rounds, you know, your 12s or 13s, to a team that could potentially be jumping up to take a quarterback. And there's a couple of those teams. We'll talk about them a little bit later. There is a tight end, though, out of Georgia. His name is Brock Bowers. He is the one to watch here, for sure, because there's two teams in particular that are a massive, massive runner to get him. Now, I think there's one team who could potentially jump up to grab one of those three wide receivers, you know, Nabers, Odonze, or Harrison. That is the Indianapolis Colts, for sure. Or the New York Jets. If they stay at 10 and Brock Bowers is still on the board, I would be extremely surprised if they don't take him. Extremely surprised. He is incredible. He's an incredible talent. If you pair him with someone like Aaron Rodgers, boy, oh boy. You saw the numbers that Brock Bowers put up with some pretty below average quarterback play. Obviously, Stetson Bennett was around a couple of years ago and Beck last year. But Brock Bowers is by far and away one of the best tight end projects that's come into the league in quite some time. And Aaron Rodgers has had a history of having, you know, a big target, you know, with the likes of Jimmy Graham, for example, as well. If you paired him with Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, who they picked up as well, that's a pretty damn good offense. It really is. And obviously, Breece Hall in the backfield as well. That would get a lot of New York Jets fans very, very, very excited. The J-E-T-S may very well be in contention to win the AFC East, if obviously A-Rod can stay healthy with all those weapons. You know, their defense is obviously very good with Sauce in the backfield there. So, yeah, they're one to watch. If he's on the board there, do not pick up that phone. Draft Brock Bowers at the 10 spot. Like we said, there is plenty of talent, I guess, in the back end of the first round of this draft. And I think that especially a lot of those teams drafting late in the first round, I'm also just looking at, I guess, somewhat draft pieces that could fit in right away. They probably don't need any kind of project players because they are looking to win now. Some of the likes of the Chiefs, the Bills. Yeah, I mean, we don't really need to talk about the Bills too much, but I think the Bills will be drafting a wide receiver for sure. They've just lost just about everyone with Stephon Diggs gone and Gabe Davis as well. But if you look at, I guess, who could be targeted to the mid to late first round, you've obviously got Brian Thomas from wide receiver U, that is LSU. I think a team like Pittsburgh could be in play there for him for sure. That's definitely a shout, especially, you know, with a new quarterback coming in Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. If they don't look to target, you know, a Brandon Ayuk, for example, who's been talked about plenty of times potentially moving on, then I think they go after Brian Thomas for sure. Miami could also be a potential landing spot there. I have no doubts about that. Minnesota also drafting late enough to potentially grab him. Who knows what they're going to do? They have plenty of picks. They do. And then you've got Xavier Worthy, who had the fastest 40-yard dash in the combine there. Fastest man in history, some would say. He's every chance of staying at home, I think, in the state of Texas. And the Dallas Cowboys, who have literally only had CeeDee Lamb for Lord knows how long now, give him some help on his other side. You know, you've been dealing with, you know, Brandon Cooks has kind of played for about every team in the NFL right about now. Give them another piece. Give them another young piece to kind of bring in. Xavier Worthy would help CeeDee Lamb create more space for him for sure. I think he's a genuine shout there. You got Adonai Mitchell as well, who could go late in the first round. And if you're looking late, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, if they don't draft early enough or a wide receiver early, they could potentially be grabbing one of these guys. I think he would be a shout there, or to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo have a chance to grab either Mitchell. Ladd McConkey, his stock is just skyrocketing right now. And another guy who's kind of on a lot of late kind of first round draft boards, early second rounds, is Jalen Polk out of Washington. Had a very good season as probably their second option outside of Adunze there. I mean, there's a team like the Kansas City Chiefs who could pick him up and just slot him in straight away, given the issues to their star young wide receiver, which is Rashee Rice, who's had some issues off the field in the offseason. Don't really want to talk about that too much. If we do want to bring up another topic, I guess, of that, just to quickly peer off from the NFL draft. These NFL players who continue to get in these car accidents, and they are horrific, horrific to read about. These guys, from what we know after games, are given free Uber rides home. They don't need to drive to the stadium. They pretty much never need to drive ever. Teams supply them with that kind of card. Some of these guys shouldn't have a license. It's just about as simple as that. If you're going to be driving as recklessly as you are, you have no regard for human life, driving like an absolute idiot. And if he is found completely guilty of this, he'll be gone in jail for quite some time. and the Chiefs are every chance of just grabbing another young wide receiver who hopefully isn't an idiot off the field. So the likes of Ladd McConkey or Jalen Polka, every chance to slot right into the Chiefs there, give Patrick Mahomes even more help because obviously doesn't need it. But I think they're a team that could be going after a wide receiver with that news to Rashee Rice for sure. Let's talk in the backfield now. Quinyon Mitchell is a name rising up all the draft boards. It's the cornerback out of Toledo. I think he's the best cornerback or DB in the draft in general. There's been a bit of head noise of late about Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, who could potentially be drafted ahead of him to the likes of someone like a Minnesota or Denver to pair him up with Patrick Surtain the second. I think, you know, there's obviously been chat about Denver drafting either Bo Nix or Michael Penix, but I think they go to shore up their secondary there. Denver are a mess. If Bo Nix somehow slides out of that spot, then they could potentially nab him in the second round. So I think those two guys are going to be just outside of the top 10 in Mitchell and Arnold. I would be going Mitchell over him. I think a lot of people are kind of somewhat putting Arnold ahead of him just given the level of competition. I guess he'd go up against week in and week out playing at Alabama. You're going up against SEC schools, whereas Quinyon Mitchell's in the MAC, and with all due respect to the MAC, that is nowhere close to SEC competition. That's not to disregard the level of athlete that he is. He is incredible. But I feel like people have seen a lot more film on Terrion Arnold, and that's why he could be getting the nod over Mitchell for sure. But I think if he is there at 17, for example, the Jacksonville Jaguars would be licking their lips if they are getting Quinyon Mitchell. And I really hope he's not, because he's not a guy I want to be going up against in divisional play in the AFC South for sure. There is another guy, the great white hope, as one would like to call him, Cooper DeJean. He's every chance of going late first round. His stock is skyrocketing as well, for sure. He's having a very good, some pro days and whatnot. There's two teams in particular that I would nab him in for. That is the Philadelphia Eagles, who their secondary could not have been any worse to finish the season, and they got absolutely lit up by Baker Mayfield. They really did. That was embarrassingly bad from them. Losing KB to Chicago as well kind of opens up a spot, so DeJean is a definite runner there. They could also be a chance to potentially move up in the draft to grab someone like Mitchell if he is there late. If not Philly, if he is potentially already gone or they decide to go a different route there, then I think there's two other teams in the NFC North that could definitely have a look at him for sure, and that is the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. As much as I love Detroit, their secondary got eaten last year. It really did. Brock Purdy just managed to move the pill fairly comfortably in that NFC title game. So I think DeJean would fit in extremely well there in Detroit. Offensively, they're fine, so I really think they need to look at that defensive side of the ball to kind of fix that up. Ditto Green Bay, same deal. Jordan Love is playing some incredible footy. Their offense is more than fine as well, so they need to attack that secondary, lock that down. Because, you know, when you're going to be going up against Caleb Williams now in that division, you got to tighten things up. Justin Jefferson's coming back to play this season as well, unless he is moved on draft day. There's been some whispers about that. That would be incredibly weird. But yeah, that is the backfield talk there. Why don't we talk about now two quarterbacks who, I guess, outside the big three. Don't even want to put JJ McCarthy in that big four. Let's talk about these two guys, Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Where are they going to go? Now, look, I know they don't have age on their side, but that is honestly their only downside when it comes to JJ McCarthy, as they're clearly both better. They do. They both have a better arm. There's probably no better quarterback efficiency-wise than Bo Nix. He set all kinds of records last year. He was phenomenal for Oregon. Still absolutely devastating that team did not make it to playoff football. But, you know, credit where credit is due to Michael Penix. And you can't even say that JJ somewhat outplayed Penix in the national title game. Like we were saying before, Michigan's defense was by far and away the real MVP, and obviously their running game kind of tore Washington apart, and it looks like Penix was hurt. But Penix is having some phenomenal workouts coming into draft day. So he is climbing up the board for sure. I think both are in play to Minnesota in that late round one spot that they got. They got pick 23. I think 11 may be a little bit too early for them, for sure. But, I mean, if McCarthy's there at 11, then I dare say Minnesota's every chance of taking him. I don't think they should, but they probably will. And if it's not Minnesota at 23, then you've got Denver and Vegas in the middle of that first round, 12 and 13. It's hard to think what Denver are doing. Honestly, let's get rid of Russell Wilson. They don't have a quarterback whatsoever. I don't know whether or not they're hoping that Bo Nix is going to be there in round two. They'd have to trade up to get him. They don't have a second round pick. That's very, very risky. But a lot of teams in that late first round aren't going to go after him. They're not. They're already sorted at quarterback. So they would have to move up into the second round to grab him. I personally think he's too good to, I guess, somewhat fall out of the first round. I think someone's moving up to get him, and it could be Denver. It really could. He seems like the fit there. If I'm Vegas, I lock in either one of them at that 13 spot. I do. Because they are kind of somewhat in the same boat where they don't have a quarterback right now. They have Devontae Adams, and if I'm looking at Devontae, I'm asking him, one of these guys, someone that we should be going after to keep you here. Otherwise, he's going to want out. He's not going to want to go around another year with the quarterback room that the Las Vegas Raiders currently have. Devontae Adams is arguably still a top five wide receiver in the league, if not top three. That's just how good he is. You look at their quarterback room, I'm sorry, but he's going to laugh if you say that Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are going to keep him there. I know Gardner Minshew was just a Pro Bowler. We're not even going to discuss the Pro Bowl, just given how disgusting the concept is. But those two guys are not it. They're really, really not. They obviously just lost Josh Jacobs as well. So that's just another piece that this Vegas team doesn't have. They've got Zamir White's now their lead running back. This isn't enough to kind of keep Devontae happy. And it's not. It really isn't. Do you just blow the whole thing up and kind of trade him away if you don't go looking at one of these two guys? I think you do. You've got to be drafting one of the two. Otherwise, Gardner Minshew is just not going to keep. He's not going to keep Devontae Adams happy or wanting to be there, I guess, in that front. Outside of those teams, I think Penix has a chance to potentially go to Seattle at 16 as well. There's always that if teams continue to keep passing up on him. Look, his former offensive coordinator in Washington is now at Seattle, and I guess with the inconsistencies that they have with Geno Smith, then the Michael Penix kind of whispers are somewhat going to get a little bit louder. Because who knows how many years is Geno going to be around for? Arguably, he's had a very good offseason as well, kind of working on his athleticism and whatnot. They've still got enough pieces around him to do things, but he was bad last year. He really was. So I think they take a look at Penix there for sure. I don't think Bo Nix is in play there, but I dare say Penix is for sure. I do. Anyway, let's run through some question time now on our socials at Trash Talk with D-Bork there on Insta and TikTok. We had a couple of questions come through from the great man himself, a big Jacksonville Jaguars fan. He hasn't asked me a Jacksonville question, so that's it's about the first time for everything, isn't it, Jackson? At JSCO11, which team is the most aggressive in moving up the boards for a non-quarterback? Two questions coming through here from Jackson. So let's answer the first one. Look, I think it's Indianapolis. I think after seeing what, I guess, our AFC South has done in the offseason, Tennessee obviously getting after Calvin Ridley and getting Tony Pollard in there. You know, Houston have just completely loaded up their team. For sure, there was Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon and whatnot. Jacksonville, yeah, you know, your boys picked up Gabe Davis. I know you lost Calvin Ridley. So I think Indy do look to make a move there to get up to grab the likes of either Neighbors or Adonze there for sure in that, you know, 8 or 9 spot. Atlanta at the end of the day won't be looking to go elite kind of offense. So they could move back to potentially grab a defensive piece in that mid-first round there. I think they can move back. I think Chicago can also move back in that 9 spot. For Indy to jump up there, just given that Chicago have done a very good job in the offseason by bringing in some extremely good weapons for Caleb Williams already. So they similar to I guess a lot of teams, you can pick up and if they want to, you know, protect Caleb Williams, an offensive tackle, you can pick them up, you know, mid first round. So they could be a team that could be moving back for sure to allow Indy to kind of move up and kind of give them another piece there as well. Buffalo could also be another team. They're very, very late first round, but after at least somewhat losing what they lost in the offseason with losing Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, do they just sit around and wait for one of those, you know, late wide receiver picks who we kind of somewhat mentioned earlier with the likes of, you know, either Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Jalen Polk, like all those guys are going to be there, or do they want to jump up and, you know, get a Neighbors or a Donze or Marvin Harrison? I mean, they'd have to make a very big move for that. But when you've got someone like Josh Allen, do you just wait for something to fall in your lap, or do you say to him, we're going to give you a guy who's going to help us win a Super Bowl? That's what we'll wait and see. We will. But he's hoping both of our teams draft well, Jackson. Like I said, I think Joe Alt lands in our lap unless Mr. Harbaugh does us no favours whatsoever and takes him off the board. And your second question, which team do you see being the most willing to move down in the first round? Like we just said, I think Chicago are 100% willing to move down. I think Arizona are also willing to move down. They're a team that really don't know what they're doing right now. Like, do they look to hold on to Kyler Murray? I think they do. But if you decide to move down for, you know, a couple of later round first round pieces, let's be real, Adonze or Neighbors aren't going to win them a Super Bowl. So you may as well go pick up potentially two wide receivers late in that first round, because they do pick already late there as it is as well. So I think they're a team that could definitely move down, and Chicago, like we said, with the likes of either Indianapolis or Buffalo or Philly potentially as well, moving up into that spot to get one of their guys. Because look, those teams aren't winning a Super Bowl, so you may as well try and get as many pieces as you can to build your team and get them back into contention. I don't think one pick is going to save the day. Chicago probably thinks so with Caleb Williams, but I think they move out of that nine spot for sure and allow someone else to get up there and take one of those wide receivers. But it's always going to be a very, very interesting day. I could potentially be at the Burley Pavilion for the Philadelphia watch party there. That'll be a whole lot of fun. We'll be back for another pod on the NFL draft, our draft preview 2.0 on Tuesday. So that'll be coming through once a few more mocks start flying in and out. It's one of my favorite times of year. It really is. We'll also have our best bets posted on that show on Tuesday. So look forward to bringing that back. I hope you all have an amazing, amazing weekend. We'll be back for the NBA pod tomorrow for the NBA playoffs preview with our special guest. Can't wait to bring it to you. This has been Trash Talk with D-Bork. I'm out of here. Enjoy.